Hello and welcome to Simply Reds, the Manchester United podcast. So we're back again. I'm your host. My name is Zain Khan. As always, joined by Mujtaba. We're regularly joined by another chap called Mittal, but he's away again for some reason. I think he's off having a mani-pedi, I think, so we'll leave him to that. Hopefully he'll be able to join us next week.
I heard he was gone for Brazilian wax.
And we'll leave that very vivid image in your minds. So what have we got on the show? Well, we're going to review the Liverpool game. We're going to talk about the Fenerbahce game as well. And then we'll preview the Chelsea game. How to get in touch with us? So we're available on simplyreds.co.uk. That's our website. You'll find an archive of old episodes and a feedback section. We more than welcome your feedback. We're going to fashion the show based on your feedback. So whatever it is that you want to see, do let us know. We're also available on @simply_reds on Twitter as well. So get in touch with us. If there's a question that you want to ask, if there's a segment that you want us to do, do let us know. So without further ado, let's crack straight on. So the Liverpool game, 0-0. We played a 4-5-1. Valencia and Blind, Daily Blind playing as full-backs. We had Bailey and Smalling as centre-halves, with Herrera and Fellaini as defensive midfielders. Pogba in front of them with a little bit of a licence to roam. Rashes out on the right-hand side. And then a little bit of a strange choice, I thought, with having Ashley Young on the left. However, we guessed that he was brought in to nullify Mane, and he did exactly that. And Ibra up front. So I'll just quickly review the game and then we'll get your thoughts on it, Mujtaba. Within the first 20 minutes anyway, the game was very fast paced. Both teams really nipping at each other's heels, trying to out-hustle each other. I guess Manchester United knew Liverpool would try to, you know, play a really fast, high-pressing game, but United didn't give them any room to breathe. Liverpool were forced into making errors, especially within that first 20 minutes. United couldn't keep the high press up, of course. You know, it only lasts so long, as we've seen in the past. There's only so much energy that you can put into the game, and we kept dropping deeper and deeper. It seemed as if the game plan was still pretty straightforward. We nick the ball off Liverpool when we can, hit them on the counter, and try and score. As the game went on, United were pretty much parking the bus. It seemed as if Liverpool's intentions were still pretty much the same. High press football, try to score as many goals as they can, and control the game. And they were very much controlling the game. They just couldn't score. But we were pretty much camped in our own half. Mujtaba, what were your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange one, this one. You know, if you said to me before the game, would you take a point at Anfield, I would have bitten your hand off. So, you know, looking at the grand scheme of things, you know, I'm happy with the point. In regards to the actual performance, you know, Mourinho especially has taken a lot of stick in all of social media and Twitter and whatnot, you know, about, you know, parking a bus as such. Like I said, I'm happy with the point. Am I happy with the performance? Yes and no. We've always struggled at Anfield, even over Fergie's tenure, we struggled, and his record at Anfield was abysmal, to be honest. I can't remember the last time you went to Anfield and put in a good performance. It just doesn't happen. It's always and always will be our toughest fixture, no matter where either club are. So I'm happy with the point. Mourinho knew it was a tough game, so he did park the bus, and we could have nicked it. You know, if that Zlatan header went in, you know, we'd all be sitting here saying Mourinho is the greatest tactician in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. I thought the game plan was pretty much Jose Mourinho down to a T. That performance, obviously, it doesn't sit well with us. I mean, you look at some of the stats that were bandied around after the game. We had something like 35% of the possession, which is the lowest since, for a Manchester United game, that's the lowest since Opta's stat mechanism sort of began. So, I mean, what's more important for us? Is it the way that we play or the result?
At the end of the day, it's a results-based business, isn't it? So it's the actual result. I don't care if we park the bus every single game as long as we win the league, because at the end of the day, that's what matters. In regards to the actual possession, I mean, look at Van Gaal. We always had the highest possession, but what did we do with it? We did absolutely nothing with it. As a fan, I would prefer us to have a higher possession, but if we're getting results with lower possession, you know, I take that. Going back to actual Liverpool, Liverpool were actually the team in form. And they were banging in the goals. They were looking really strong. The front three were looking really threatening. So what did Mourinho do? He nullified that. So I think he did the right thing. Like I said, we could have won it. Yeah, I mean, Liverpool are banging on about us parking the bus. Why didn't they break us down? the onus was on the home team to break us down and score goals. Complain about your attacking threat rather than our defensive wall.
Also, just to add on top of that, I think we talk a lot about philosophies, and all teams, kind of the benchmark at the moment seems to be Barcelona, and their philosophy is kind of comprised of three parts. Play good, attractive attacking football. That's kind of their first principle. The second principle is play fairly, I think. And then the third principle says win, but not by conceding those other two points. So they've got to do those 2 points in their philosophy first before they kind of carry out that third one, which is winning. I think, you know, I take that with a pinch of salt. Sometimes I think that's a little bit of BS. I've seen Barcelona do, you know, do anything to win games. But putting that to one side, we go back to Manchester United and try to figure out as fans what our philosophy is. I just want to refer back to Alex Ferguson. But I think Ferguson was once asked about his sort of style of football and kind of grinding out results and what his kind of mentality and take on all of that was. And what he very much said was the fact that first and foremost, like as you put forward, winning comes first. The looking pretty, the good football that can come later. Ultimately, it's about getting those 3 points. And I think that's where we're at the moment. We just need to get those 3 points, do what we can to win. And then, you know, as the team starts to gel the good football, that will come later.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Mourinho is still his first season. He still doesn't know his strongest team. There's still a lot of, I mean, look at Mkhitaryan. You know, Mourinho said that was going to be one of his key players, and he still hasn't featured because of his injury. So Mourinho doesn't know his best team yet. Still players coming into form, and we don't know if they're going to succeed or not, like the likes of Pogba, etc. So, you know, I just want him to get on with it at the moment. Let's judge him come January, February time, where he'll get a few months under his belt and a lot of games as well. Then we'll see the real Mourinho.
No, I agree with you on that one. I would even push that out a little bit further. I'd say, look, let him have his season. Let's not crucify the guy just yet. You know, you've got to give him a bit of time. Let him do what he has to do. I also think, kind of just on kind of the whole Jose factor, I think at the moment we're very much under pressure. And you alluded to it when you said kind of Liverpool are playing really well. So given the fact that we're under pressure, we're not exactly sitting at the top of the table. I think we were sitting, seventh, something along those lines. If we had a cushion, then yes, I would certainly, you know, if we were sitting pretty at the top of the table or thereabouts, then I would have certainly expected to see potentially more attacking football. But we're under the cosh, so I see no issue at the moment in kind of, you know, playing a more defensive style of football and nullifying the other team. So we talked a little bit about the result. What about the let's look at the positives from the game.
Couple of good performances. The whole defence was outstanding. We did park the bus, but you know, if you're going to be parking a bus, you're going to need good defenders and doing a good job, and all of them did absolutely fantastic.
What are you saying? That was a good bus?
It was a solid bus. Yeah, it was a great bus, and the actual driver of the bus was Ashley Young, who I thought was absolutely outstanding. No, seriously, he was brilliant.
Driver of the bus was Ashley Young.
Brilliant.
He was. I think I was going to touch upon this one as well. I've jotted down some stats for Ashley Young. I think on that left-hand side, specifically his role, I think was, look, Ash, you don't need to get forward. I think Jose sort of said to him, your main job is just to nullify Mane, and he did that down to a T. Four out of four tackles, I think, Ashley Young got in. All successful, 100% tackle rate.
Yeah, because he was playing so defensive, he was literally playing left back, and Blind had to tuck in. So Blind actually didn't have much to do all game. He was so quiet. Yeah, and other positives, so Fellaini had quite a decent game. He didn't do anything special, like all season, but he did everything in the right way. He brought the ball down. He was physical, which is the reason why he was in there, to be honest.
Yeah, a straightforward performance, I would say, from Fellaini. Nothing exuberant, nothing extravagant. But that's not Fellaini, is it? It's just he's a bit of a hard grafter. He got in when a tackle was needed. He put himself about a little bit, and that is Fellaini for his standards. It was a good performance. I agree with you on that one. Anyone else?
Yeah, I thought
I'm
Ander
trying
Herrera.
To poke and prod you.
Herrera was absolutely outstanding. He was the man of the match, wasn't he? I think the three times we've played, well, he's played against Liverpool for United, he's been outstanding. He seems to take on the pressure, the atmosphere of playing. He understands the club, he understands the fans, and you can see that when he's playing the likes of Liverpool away from home. We thought he was brilliant, and he's playing in defensive midfield now, isn't he, for Mourinho? And Mourinho seems to love him there, and he's doing a great job. You know, that if he carries on, you know, he could just knuckle down his place in that position.
He is, and exactly that. Again, just some stats just to colour the thought that Ander Herrera had an absolutely fantastic game. I looked at not only our own players, but also the opposition. So starting off with, I guess, Ander's tackling success, he attempted more tackles than anybody else on the pitch. He attempted 12 tackles. I think the other closest player was Henderson with 7 tackles.
Shy.
So almost double the number of tackles that Ander tried to put in. His tackle success wasn't great, 7 out of 12, but compared to everybody else, it was still, you know, there or thereabouts, if that makes sense. In terms of, this is where he really came into play here. He had more interceptions than anybody else on the day. He had 10 interceptions. That's more interceptions than anybody else in our team. The closest other player was, I think, Pogba in that midfield, who got 3 interceptions. And on the opposition, I think it was probably Henderson as well, who was there or thereabouts with maybe 3 or 4, if that. So, you know, he real influential defensive performance. And the most interesting fact for me, he won 4 out of his 5 aerial duels. Now, he's not the tallest bloke on the pitch. You've got Fellaini there to do the dog work in the air. But 4 out of 5 aerial duels, that, for me, it just shows his passion and his willingness to put himself about a little bit, get his head in there. You know, he's not afraid to have a little bit of a nip, a crunching tackle, or put his body on the line. So it's a fantastic all-round performance from Ander Herrera. I'll certainly back your views up on that one, Mushtaba. I guess one of the final points I wanted to cover on the Liverpool game before we move on was, yeah, there's a lot of negativity talking about how we only had 35% of the possession and we parked the bus. But one of the positives you can take away from that is also the fact that we had 35% of the possession, but we created 7 chances. Liverpool had 65% of the possession and created 9. So it just goes to show, if we had more of the ball, we're creating more chances per minutes of the ball than the opposition anyway. But also, historically, last season, for example, those chances weren't exactly that forthcoming. Okay, so the Fenerbahce game in the Europa Cup on Thursday. Return of some familiar faces. We had Mata, Martial, Carrick, and even Rooney. Not to mention Luke Shaw back in the starting 11 as well. And of course, RVP making his return to Old Trafford. Again, we went for a 4-5-1. I'm not too... I don't favour that formation too much, especially against Europa League teams. But hey-ho, I guess we've got to run it out and kind of stick to it. Make sure that the players kind of know how that formation works. The more they play it, maybe the better they'll get it. Anyway, putting that to one side. United ran out comfortable winners. 4-1 in the end. But the game didn't really heat up until about the 31st minute. From a penalty, really. And the penalty, oh boy, did it come from a beautifully crafted raking ball to Mata from Carrick. How good was that ball? And then instant control from Mata. But Mata, of course, being the little whippet that he is, was kind of smothered a little bit by the Fenerbahce defender and brought down in the box. Rooney, I guess as captain, you would have thought stepped up. We'll cover that in a little while. Pogba took the penalty and scored, and followed up with a beautiful dab, might I add. And then minutes later, Martial was brought down again, and another penalty. This time, Martial stepped up and scored. The third, I think this is where, you know, United really started clicking. They were unshackled a little bit, and the third was a beautifully fashioned chance. High press, and I guess high pressure in general, leading to Rooney pickpocketing Fenerbahce and delivering the ball right to the edge of the box for a waiting Lingard, who provided a beautiful deft touch of an assist to lay into the path of the oncoming train that is Pogba, and he absolutely Hulk smashed it into the top corner. And then finally, I guess Lingard topped off a really solid performance with a quality strike from the edge of the box under quite a bit of pressure to make it 4-0. And then I can't finish the review of the game without covering Robin van Persie, the fox in the box that is Robin van Persie. He managed to get his goal towards the end, and it was kind of normally we'd be very, very disappointed if we let a clean sheet disappear, and so would Big Dave, David De Gea. He'd probably be disappointed with that as well, but not on this occasion. Old Trafford rose to ovation for Robin van Persie's goal. A real kind of, I guess it was kind of a real good a final farewell to Robin van Persie. I guess we really didn't get to do that. Your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I was really looking forward to this game pre-kickoff, and I think a lot of United fans are as well. I mean, there were 71,000 fans in the ground, which goes to show, you know, how everyone was looking forward to this one. Not because of the disappointment of Monday, but I don't know. I don't even think it was because of van Persie. It just seemed like, I don't know, it was almost like a Champions League type game. Fenerbahce, a decent side, and I think we were desperate for goals as well, and boy, oh boy, did we get them. Bit of pre-kickoff, I was wetting myself over the midfield three, Carrick, Mata and Pogba. You know, I was desperate to see Carrick in this side, and you know, it paid dividends. He was absolutely outstanding. He was one of the best players on the pitch, and I really do think, you know, Mourinho should be taking a look at him. I know he's looking for more of that physical presence, which is why he plays Fellaini in there. But Carrick, you know, he needs to look at Carrick. He needs to look at his experience. And what Carrick does is he moves the ball forward and moves it quickly, and that will benefit the likes of Pogba and Martial and the wide players.
Do you think Carrick could, obviously Fenerbahce not having the best of seasons at the moment, I think they're sitting somewhere, well, they're hot off the pace anyway within their own league, and I think their own fans identify the fact that they were probably going to get a bit of a drubbing. So in terms of Carrick and Fenerbahce, as I said, you know, they weren't putting too much pressure. They weren't a real decent outfit, I would say. So not too much of a test for Carrick. Do you think Carrick still got it with regards to having the influence that he needs in maybe a Premier League game?
Yeah, of course he has. You know, Carrick, you know, he was never a player who relied on his pace or anything like that. So he just sits there like a quarterback, and he just picks the passes, and he is always positive with his passes, always plays them forward, and that will really, really benefit someone like Pogba, who likes to push on a bit. So Carrick will always find Pogba, and he'll always find Mata, so it'll be really positive for us to play Carrick. I'm really, but you know, at the moment with Herrera playing so well, you know, he's got a bit of competition, but you know, but that's good, just good for the squad. It's also really good to see Martial back. He's looking dangerous again, he's looking fit. So I'm hoping he starts against Chelsea, and we will talk about that in a bit. But Lingard, again, he played well as well. I mean, Lingard's a bit of a funny one, isn't it? He's a bit like Marmite. You either love him or hate him. I've said before that, you know, I don't think he's a United player, and I still think that even long-term. But, you know, he's playing really well. His movement is outstanding. It's really, really good. And he's starting to score as well. If he carries on scoring, you know, we need to take a look at him, actually.
I think any time we start having conversations questioning Lingard's ability, he comes along with an absolute screamer. Like you take the charity shield, start of the season, we're thinking we don't think Lingard's got a place in the United squad. And then what does he do? He goes and bangs that in. So yeah, any time he's questioned, even in the FA Cup final, he goes in and scores an absolute screamer. So had a half decent performance again. Let's see if he can keep that up. You started touching upon some of the positives in the game, so I'll start to add to that as well. Pogba started playing well as well. I mean, he got his goals, and it seems as if, is this now the start of something special for Pogba? Has he finally found, have we found the perfect fit with the players around him, i.e. playing Carrick? Does that provide Pogba with a little bit more freedom now? So another real sort of positive from the game as well. It's the Europa Cup, right? I mean, Europa League. How seriously are we taking this? What are we looking to get out of this?
I want us to take it seriously, but I don't want it to be at the detriment of the team playing over the weekend. I still feel that Mourinho should be fielding a few more youngsters. At the moment, he's, you know, in these Europa League games, he's starting his first choice centre backs. He's starting David De Gea. He's starting Pogba. I don't want to see that. I want him to play Romero at the back. A few more youngsters in. I know he'll get a lot of stick. He'll get a lot of stick for losing these games if we do lose them. But, you know, who cares? At the end of the day, do we really care about the Europa League? I'd still love us to win it and have a good run. But let's give the youngsters a chance. And if they can't do it, they can't. But they'll get a lot of experience out of it. And who knows, you know, we'll be screaming, we'll be kicking ourselves. But if we do exit the Europa League, deep down, we won't give a toss.
I agree with you to a certain extent. I think you're right. I think we should be looking to win it. I think we've got a massive squad. I mean, you look at the squad that we played against Fenerbahce and the squad previous to that in Liverpool. Some of the players that couldn't make it in the squad, you're talking about your Morgan Schneiderlins, you're talking about your Bastian Schweinsteiger's not even in any of these squads. I think we've got a hell of a lot of players there, and you mix that along with some of the younger players that we've got. So I think we should use this Europa League as an opportunity to give some of those players a little bit of a run out. But yeah, to a certain extent, we should be taking it seriously, because with the quality of players and this strength in depth that we've got, I don't see any reason why not only can we win it, but also, you know, get some positives out of it. So the big Rooney debate that we had last time, and the whole fat gene comments that we made, let's put Rooney under the microscope again. So Rooney returned to captain the side. He didn't take a pen. I'm pretty sure he could have broken a couple of records, probably something to do with the Van Nistelrooy record around all-time United top European goal scorer. So he could have broken that record. What's going on? I mean, he didn't take the penalty, which potentially could have been a bit of an easier goal. Is it a confidence issue, or was he just being a good captain by letting Pogba, you know, try and gain some of that confidence that he's been lacking?
Yeah, I think it was him being a good captain. I think one of the pundits on TV when the game was on said that, that both Pogba and Martial are struggling themselves with a bit of confidence. They're the future of Manchester United. So Rooney was actually a good captain, and he gave them the chance, you know, to sort of get the confidence back. And he's realised that he's given them the chance. So I think it was. I still would have liked him to score one, but you know, he wasn't playing well. I think he sort of knows he's going out a bit, so he's given the chance to Pogba, who is the future of the club. So I was happy with him.
So you think it's because he's been a good captain as opposed to him having any sort of confidence issues? I saw the game where you know, Rooney picked up the ball. He had the ball in his hand. It looks as if, you know, he knew he was captain. He was going to be stepping up to the plate. And it looks as if Pogba just had a word or two with him and sort of said, "I don't mind having a crack at this one, captain." And it seemed as if he was more than happy to hand it over, not in a kind of Balotelli trying to grab the ball out of the captain's hands way, but in a more kind of you know, I'm up, I'm putting my name forward to take the penalty. So I think you're right to a certain extent, but I certainly would have loved to see Rooney bang the first one in and then said to the rest of the lads, right, let's bang in a couple more, so to speak, and we'll get your confidence back up that way. Because I think Rooney's struggling for confidence a little bit as well. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I completely agree. He himself is struggling for confidence massively, and he actually desperately needs a goal, not for himself, but, you know, for the critics as well. He really needs one, and we've seen him in the past when he's been through a lot of goal droughts in his career, and as soon as he does get one, he gets his confidence back and he goes on a goal scoring run. So I'm not sure what's going on there. I mean, like I said, he had a pretty bad game. He looked really poor. His first touch was still off. He looks so rusty and he looks a bit unfit. I mean, to be honest, he has been throughout his career. But yeah, it's a bit of a funny one. At the end of the day, you know, it's all about the team, and I'm delighted we won. And it's always nice to see Pogba score one. I was a bit uncertain looking at that run-up. Also, is he going to actually get to the ball?
Like I was saying, what a beautiful run-up. Rich man's Zaza, indeed. We could take a few moments to admire that little run-up. You're absolutely right. Looking back on it now, nobody's even questioning it. It just looks like pure genius in terms of trying to put the goalkeeper off. Even the goalkeeper started playing mind games, and Pogba, I think, said, you know, you want to play mind games? I could play some mind games with me. The keeper, before the penalty was taken, he was taking a sip of water, clearing his throat, cleaning his boots, cleaning his gloves. He was doing all sorts just to put the penalty taker off, and then Pogba played some of his own mind games.
At the end of the day, it's the result that matters. I mean, if we had lost that game, now everyone would be talking about Rooney, given not taking those two penalties, but no one's talking about it.
Very true. It's a real good point. You're right. These players, especially some of the bigger players, talismans at the club, do come under the microscope and come under a lot of heavy criticism when we do lose. You're absolutely right. Whilst we're talking about Rooney, never be it for this particular podcast to entertain conspiracy theories, but I did read quite recently, I want to get your thoughts on this one as well, and the fact that Rooney is on some relatively strong medication for hair loss, I imagine. So we all know he's had a hair transplant, and I believe he's under some sort of medication, and apparently that affects his performance on the pitch. So I don't know whether or not you've heard about these rumours, so they're pretty much unsubstantiated, but I was reading them, I think it was on Reddit or somewhere. So do we think that this is I guess the question to you is, do we think that this is a natural end and progression to Rooney's career? Do we just think it's a dip in form? I know recently you've said, Mustafa, you just think it's a dip in form, or do we think it's down to something, I wouldn't say sinister, but a little bit more innocuous? Do you think it's kind of he's on some form of hair loss medication? what do we put this down? Or is it just a fat gene?
I'm not going to talk about those tablets or anything. I don't believe in that bullshit that you see online. I mean, there's a lot of bullshit going on about him recently as well. About, you know, United have to play him because of the pressure on the sponsors. I mean, that's quieting down since he's been dropped, hasn't it? So it's just a lot of bullshit. People like to talk about Wayne Rooney a lot. I think it's just a bit dip in form. He has lost a bit of pace. We know that he's 30, 31 now. So he's not going to be the player that he used to be. But I do think it's a dip in form. He's got a lot to offer. I'm still going to give him time. Let's judge him.
Okay.
In a few more months when he actually does get some playing time, he's training hard, and if he does get the chance, if he performs, if he doesn't perform, then you know we need to start questioning his overall ability and if it's dipped significantly.
Very true. I doubt whether he's still that hungry. I don't want to talk too much about Rooney. I know we talked about him during the last podcast as well, so we'll move swiftly on after this sort of last comment. But yeah, I think I question whether he's still hungry for it. He's been there. He's done it all pretty much. Has he still got that hunger? I mean, what is he playing for now? You know, is the hunger, is the fire, is the desire still there, do we think, for Rooney?
I think it is. He's a United player. He's a United legend. You know, he's been there and done that with United. He loves the club. He understands the club. So I think his desire will always be there, like all United players of old. I still think the major issue with him is his fitness. Even when he was at his peak of his powers, you know, he had to keep a close eye on his fitness. And now that he's getting older, it will start to take over him and catch up on him. So I think that will always be, you know, his Achilles heel, his fitness. And I still think that will be the major thing affecting him.
Okay, brilliant. Moving on to the Chelsea game. So the next fixture that we've got within the Premier League is the Chelsea game. So we're just going to have a little Chelsea preview, quite a relatively rough, quite a quick one. So I guess first and foremost, team lineup.
Yeah, I'm just going to go standard 4-3-3. Bailly and Smalling centre backs, Valencia right back, Blin left back, obviously De Gea in net. The midfield three, I want to see Carrick, Herrera and Pogba in the middle, and on the far right hand side I want to see Lingard, I want to see Martial on the left, and I want to see Zlatan up top.
Interesting. So no Luke Shaw first and foremost from your defensive?
Yeah, he's still coming back from fitness. He was pretty poor against Fenerbahce. He's going to need a bit more time, a couple of more subs appearances will be alright. I think it's too early for him, plus the fact that Blin's been really really good at the moment as well, so just keep that momentum.
What about a lack of Mata? He's been, in my opinion, he's had a fantastic couple of games. Your thoughts on Mata? Why have you left him out?
Yeah, I think with Kante and Matic in the side, we're going to need a real physical presence, especially in that number 10 role. And I want to put Pogba in that number 10 role, give them a few problems. You know, getting space in that hole. And, you know, if you do decide to go a bit more physical and go a bit more long, Pogba will offer us that aerial threat. He'll offer us that strength as well, which Mata doesn't offer. But with Carrick and Herrera in there, I think they'll feed him. I don't think Carrick. So I'll go back to what I think Mourinho will play. And I think his team will be identical to the one we played against Liverpool, but Martial will come in for Young. That's what I think he'll do.
Okay, so well, actually, one player I would also want to question at the moment. You talk a little bit about sort of your Rooney, and you know, only play him if he's playing well, and drop a player if he's not playing that well. Ibra, how do you think he's doing? Zlatan, I don't think he's had the best of games against Liverpool. He's not performing too well, but you've picked him in your squad. What are your thoughts on that one against Chelsea?
Yeah, he has been really quiet, hasn't he? Against Liverpool, it was a lack of service against Liverpool, so I don't want to, you know, being a centre forward myself. if you're not going to get any service, you can't showcase your quality. So I'm not going to take that away from him.
Fair enough. So you said, just given the fact that he's not had there's been a sincere lack of quality in the service that's been provided to him, you should, you know, give him another chance, let him have another crack at the whip, so to speak. That's why he's been.
Yeah. With Ibra, even when he's not playing well, just his presence just scares off the opposition, and he's doing that so well at the moment. He's keeping the defenders occupied, alters their game plan, and you know, we know he's a threat in the air as well. So if you get a corner, free kick, comes anywhere near him, you know, he's going to win it 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, but I don't think right now, I agree with you, if it was anybody else that we were facing, I probably would take Ibra off and experiment a little bit. Yeah. Maybe play, I don't know, a two at the front, maybe a Martial and maybe Rashford. But that's just me. I'm call me the Tinker Man. I wouldn't mind a bit of experimentation. But I think you're right. Let's just stick to our guns. Play Ibrahimovic up front. Talk to me about a little bit of your game strategy. How would you try to approach this Chelsea game? Is it going to be another one of the let's try and nullify them, hit them on the counter? Are you going to try and control the game? How would you play it?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's dependent on how Chelsea actually attack us as well. They're a bit of a mixed bag at the moment. I mean, with Liverpool, we knew how they were playing and the sort of form they were in. With Chelsea, it's a bit on and off at the moment. So, and it's even with their formations, I mean, he's gone back to his 3-4-3 now, I think. So I think that, you know, we've got chance to exploit those wing-backs as such they've got. And they're not great. I mean, Marcus Alonso was playing for Bolton a few years ago. He's absolutely rubbish. They paid like almost 30 million for him. So, you know, let's get Lingard or Martial out there. And, you know, actually, you know, we'll have Carrick from deep and Herrera playing those through balls. And we can really exploit the gaps they leave in the fullback positions. And if someone like David Luiz is playing, I mean, come on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even you'd score against him.
I think that's pushing it for my footballing skills. But no, I think you're right. So what was going on? I was reading up on how, you know, different fans thought the game was going to play out. And a really interesting one was a comment from one of the fans that said something along the lines of they feel as if this is going to be a really unique game in the history of football, a game-changing one, because they truly believe that both teams are going to set out to park the bus, and it could end up at a stage where both teams, the ball's in the middle of the park and both teams are penned up in their own half just looking at the ball, wondering who's going to come forward first, just simply because they want to park the bus. facetious comment, little, you know, some banter being had there between fans, but certainly the underlying theme that I draw from that is the fact that I think Chelsea fans are also expecting this one to be a bit of a cagey affair. So speaking of cagey affair and how we think the game's going to play out, let's just go straight to predictions. How do you think this is going to play out in terms of scoreline?
I don't think it's going to be like Monday. I think we'll actually dominate possession, not as much as Liverpool did against us, but I think we'll have the lion's share of possession. I think if, you know, someone like Carrick and Herrera play together, I think we can really pin them down. The only person I'd worry about at the moment is Diego Costa, because he's in a great run of form. He's a top Premier League goal scorer at the moment with 7 goals, I believe. So we need to watch out for him. You know, he's a bit of a dog, isn't he?
Yeah.
So if he does get physical, you know, we just get Bailly on him, we'll shut him up. I don't think anyone else is playing, you know, considerably well in this side. The likes of Hazard and even Kante are being pretty poor at the moment. So, you know, let's beat them. You know, we've got the better players, so let's make the most of it. Jose will have a bit of a point to prove as well. He'd love to go there and win. He really would. So, you know, I think we will win. I think I'm going for 2-1 to us.
Yeah, so 2-1, interesting. I was going to go for a 1-0. I think we'll get the goal wherever it is within the game. And then again, I think Jose's going to try to shut up shop. But for me, 1-0 would be a massive victory anyway. Just speaking on Jose and his kind of return to the bridge, there's much made in the media about obviously his return and what kind of reception he's get. To be honest, I couldn't give a shit whether he gets a good reception or a bad reception, but what was important for me anyway was during the press conference, pre-match press conference, he was asked something along the lines of, you know, would you want to return to Chelsea one day, trying to drum up a story for the back pages of the newspapers, and his response was quite telling, a real good one, I think, from a United perspective anyway. He said something along the lines of, I'm not too fussed about Chelsea, I want my stay here at Manchester United to be a long and kind of fruitful one. So that was interesting, just an interesting piece to wrap up that Chelsea preview. Okay, so that's about it. We've come to the end of another jam-packed episode. Is this the start of a decent run of form? Will our predictions for the Chelsea game come true? Tune in next time to see how this fascinating season unfolds. That has been Simply Reds.